Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
All right, with that, let's go to the hotline here. Our show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Mark Wogan, richsi.com. Mark, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Jack and I were literally just talking about this on the phone about how.
Wait, I have to follow Jack Ham now. Okay, bye. Sorry.
it was a private conversation. it wasn't an on-air conversation. But we were saying about how it broke Penn State's way, and I think actually not going to this game for 11 years is what really broke in their favor.
Oh, to the Outback Bowl. Yeah, it was funny because I got a friend of mine had like reached out to me late last week and said, could Penn State go to the Outback Bowl? I heard that they could potentially go to the Outback Bowl. And I really honestly dismissed it because I said, yeah, that's not, I don't see how that's conceivable. I had it in my mind, though, that Wisconsin was 9-3. Once I checked the standings, saw they were 8-4, and I started thinking about it. I thought, absolutely, why not? Especially, you know, put three teams in the playoff, which are in the New Year's Six games, the playoff and the New Year's Six games, Iowa then to the Citrus Bowl. Why couldn't they? With your pool essentially for the Outback Bowl and the following bowls being Wisconsin, Penn State, Purdue, Minnesota. It's a great, you know, it's a great landing spot there. With having really kind of, I guess, essentially competing with Wisconsin for that spot, are they better positioned to go to Wisconsin or to go to Las Vegas being the hour earlier? That was one of the things that always struck me is anybody from Penn State really behind the scenes kind of giving a little pause to the idea of playing a game that might end at 2 a.m. on the East Coast?
Right.
I thought that might be kind of a mitigating point. And like you said, 11 years since going there, I know the games that I've been doing, the Outback Bowl, have been really well represented by Penn State people, and I think this energizes the fan base that that having had been disappointed by the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I think it does. I think it gave everybody a little extra jump. We're like, okay, which is
gave me a jump.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? I mean, I already checked the advanced forecast; going to be in the low 70s. I'm like, I'm good. Tell them to kick it off. I'm ready.
Exactly, and it's a great matchup too. It's a first time matchups in bowls are always really interesting to me. Arkansas seems like I hadn't seen a lot of them, but I saw a little bit of the game against Alabama. Took them right to that wire, and that seems like a team really kind of headed in the right direction. Understand Pittman. So I like the way they put that whole thing together, and as you said, the way it came together in Penn State's favor.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think Arkansas is a team I kind of looked at two or three weeks ago as a possible opponent somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I've done a little bit of glancing at them along the way. He's done a heck of a job as a coach there.
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas was kind of given up for a while.
Yeah, at one point I think they had reached number 8. They had a little bit of that Penn State in them early on, 4 games, reached top 10, and then you've got to run that gauntlet SEC schedule. I think it was, Georgia, Mississippi, Auburn in a stretch, or Georgia, Mississippi, Texas A&M, something like that, that they went into, a really brutal stretch of games. But having come out of the Georgia game, everything else really close. Like Texas A&M, I think it was a one-point game, just like I said, Alabama. One possession game. So first time games always interest me. Especially with teams that have been playing football for a long time.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I got to ask you. I thought watching. I'll start with Michigan, then I'll get to Alabama. I thought the Michigan coaching staff, to their credit, put two or three trick plays in the first quarter. After that big emotional win over Ohio State, Mark, you can tell they practiced something that was fun and different, which then changes the interest level, and I thought that was brilliantly played by them.
Yeah, I didn't consider in that perspective, but you're absolutely right, because we saw maybe a little bit of them, not to that nearly that extent. let, you know, the receiver throw for the long touchdown. I mean, they stayed to. I thought they stayed true to who they were the last 2 weeks against Ohio State and Iowa, but blossomed a little bit, branched out a little bit. And I think you're right that I entered that game thinking, can Michigan sustain that level of having just beaten Ohio State for the first time in how many years? And then have to play another game that, you know, at that point is even more important, because then you, now you're playing for something even greater than the Big Ten title.
Right.
And I was just, like, thoroughly impressed with the way they followed one performance with another. I don't think you can say that about what happened in the SEC title game. On either side, Alabama looked like a completely different football team than the one that scored 3 points through 59 minutes against Auburn. Likewise, Georgia. There, Michigan did not look like a completely different football team those 2 weeks. It looked like it had, since that Penn State game, since they got that that kind of almost broken play touchdown to the tight end against Penn State, that play seemed to me almost to revive them in a way.
Yeah.
And send them on a curve, a curve back upward toward the end of the season. I don't discount them in any way in the playoff.
No. There's also something that history is a great teacher, and I probably should have considered this when looking at Alabama and Georgia. If you've noticed, when Alabama has lost, what has the opponent done in recent years? They broke 40. This year, Texas A&M, 41-38. Yep. There's no way Georgia scores 40 on that team. They can't do it with their quarterback.
No, and then I wonder how they respond. I mean, from their perspective, would they have wanted the rematch in the playoff? I know the position that everybody from the outside takes is that there's no way that there would be a rematch, because you don't want that for television and fans and things like that. But with Georgia, how is Georgia now going to respond, having lost now, what, 7 straight games to Alabama, and having to stew over that for a couple of weeks, and then try to get into a mindset of playing a team that's thoroughly different in Michigan, but always looking like toward the horizon again as, oh, if we just get one more shot at Alabama. That is not a team to in any way overlook whatsoever. Because I think Michigan, the way they've risen could beat both those teams on a good day, on their better day.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just, I'm watching Bryce Young, and the Georgia secondary is a weakness to begin with. But I'll tell you who was a gigantic disappointment in that game. It was the Davis kid up front. I mean, they ran him out of gas. They ran him out of gas in the first quarter.
Yeah, and the fact, I'm just thoroughly blanking on the receiver, the Alabama receiver, Williams. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, Williams, who played at Ohio State. Yeah, he played against Penn State.
From Ohio State. When you could go from, this is astonishing to me, and this is kind of, I think, is where James Franklin is looking, like, when he talks about stacking classes, that's exactly what he means, that if you can go from a room in Ohio State where you are not going to be the number one to leading the SEC, I think, in receiving yards, and having, you know, being a number one at a place like Alabama, that's where those programs, they live in that ether that, that James Franklin said it a couple of weeks ago. It's not about just this 22 recruiting class coming in. We got to keep stacking them. We've got to be able to put guys in the field. So when somebody goes down, you know, there's potentially a better player on the field waiting who just might not have the reps behind it, but just actually might be better than the guy in front of them. I see that in Alabama.
Right, and that's what they do. They do stack them. There's just no getting around it. And now with Mechie out, there'll be some other young guy that will step in and play in Mechie's spot.
Right, right, exactly. When you could flip, Jalen Hurts into a, back-to-back years in big games, that sort of thing, you've got a recruiting edge.
So what do you think about Cincinnati in all this? Because they're going to get Alabama.
I And I love the fact it's weird because I just have not been able to watch Cincinnati, so I don't know a ton about them. I think, you know, quarterback-wise, would they have the second-best quarterback situation perhaps in the playoff? I mean, if you're looking at players who can – if you pick the quarterback that you think can win you a game, are they second among these four teams behind Alabama? Could you make that argument? I don't know. I'm just really happy that they got in there because I really believe that that element has to be preserved in college football. I just didn't want it to become the playoff to become just a tiered format where it's not just the same teams every year, but that there's really no hope for teams like Cincinnati and UCF and Houston going way back. That their margin for error already is just so small that they've got to go into a conference title game and think, okay, we can't just win by two touchdowns. So them getting in, yeah, why not? Why can't they give Alabama a game playing in perfect mode?
Right. By the way, just a quick note for everybody. The last time Alabama lost a game where the opponent scored less than 40 was Auburn in the Iron Bowl in 2017, 26-14. The last time they lost a game where the opponent scored less than 40.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Clemson beat him, scored 44. Let's see. Auburn beat him, scored 48. LSU beat him, scored 46. Texas A&M beat him, scored 41.
Right. All with number one quarterbacks? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are the last losses they've had that you've had to score 40 against them to beat them. Wow.
Yeah, and who among the group is capable of doing that against Alabama?
None.
I mean,
zero.
Is Michigan the best position too? Maybe.
I mean,
but
maybe.
Yeah.
But that's only a maybe.
Right. Exactly.
I'm just throwing it out there so people understand. Like, what does it take to beat them? You got to score 40.
That's a great point.
I mean, let's start with the basics. History is the greatest teacher. Obviously, Penn State will get to this game. How interested are you as to, Penn State's, obviously Micah Parsons opted out for a season, but nobody's ever really not played in the bowl game before. Which guys are you eyeing just to see what their decision will be on this?
I think the two most obviously are Jahan Dotson and Jaquan Brisker. Now, I've not really... I mean, having interviewed Jaquan Brisker and seeing what the team means to him, I wouldn't make a guess on him. I got to know Jahan over the years, even covering him back in high school. So, personality-wise, I don't know, and I want to say what surprised me, because that's the wrong term for it. I could see him going, just Jahan in particular, I could see him going either way, and everybody respecting that decision going either way.
Yes, he will be respected no matter what.
There really shouldn't be... I don't think there should be any discussion or just any objection to either decision that he would make. If he plays, if he wants to go down there and play and participate in this game, with a team, I would guess it would be something similar to what Penn State did with Saquon Barkley at the Fiesta Bowl.
Agreed.
And that he was,
it
was reduced reps. They brought him in. He had a couple of, 85, 90-yard carry or whatever that was. That was
92.
Miles Sanders' game. Yeah, for the most part, I could see that being the same thing going on here. And you've got some young receivers who you want to give this opportunity. Looking across the board, that could be, there could be more players. You see, even if they're going and they're there, maybe they're not as not as involved as much. With Jaquan Brisker, I think that's different because he's such not that Jahan Dotson is not a huge part of your offense, but Jaquan Brisker is so elemental to that defense, and I don't think they have the depth behind that to really fill that safety spot, that role he brings. So if he's there, I guess he would probably play more. I'm looking forward to seeing who they bring out. Who are the guys? Who are the guys that are going to play? Is Christian Vayu going to get some more snaps?
Yeah.
In the bowl game, it's going to be a great opportunity for him to, you know, to take, you know, to take some reps in that game as well. Because you want him going into this, you want him going into spring or winter workouts in spring with a head of confidence, thinking, you know, the they're a freshman quarterback coming in, but don't forget about me.
Yeah. Right. One last question. The first question James got yesterday, once he finally got on there, was about defensive coordinator. Yeah, about Brent to begin with, but the search for a DC. How interesting was that answer he gave?
The second part of it, to me, was the most interesting because, James Franklin knows he's going to replace coaches. It's not that that's just in this day and age, he absolutely knows that. So he's got his list. You know, he's probably had a list for a couple of years each time Brent Pry is, you know, taking an interview or maybe he's got a, you know, a step toward the door, that sort of thing. It was that second part when he said, he called it a significant loss. And this is, you know, personally and professionally, I think for him, a guy he's known for 25 plus years, going back, you know, Eddie Stroudsburg, you know, and been on the staff for 11 years, that the I think having that bond, that guy you can lean on, I'm going to say crutch, but yeah, that kind of guy you can lean on, that assistant, you know, that you can lean on, who's not necessarily even an assistant anymore. I think he probably viewed he viewed Brent as an equal in their coaching room, and he was just happened to be the boss. I remember last year Brent Pry talked about later in the year about the first time he went over to James Franklin's house during COVID. You know, and then it was, he had lost a couple of games in a row. James's family's not there. He's going home to an empty house. And Brent kind of went over and they said, you know, said they almost like spent time crying together in a way, just kind of like venting about the situation and bonding in some ways about that. That, I think, is an underrated element of coaching sets. When you spend that much time with somebody over a decade and you fight with them and fight for them and celebrate with them and argue with them and that's now that presence is gone, you could be energized in some ways about who you brought in, but who's that guy you're going to want to text, you know, that the first time you know, when a recruit says, okay, you know, we got him, that sort of thing, and you know, or hey, even personally, I don't know, you text something about, hey, you know, my daughter got her driver's license. Maybe he's texting Brent about that sort of thing. So
right.
I think that, you know, that is going to be a really, really, I think, something difficult for him to replace. And looking at it, he probably doesn't even want to necessarily replace that. It's just now this is something new. And that's probably to be the best way for him to look at it. That now you just, this is, a, you know, this is staff part two. You know?
My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much.
Yeah, happy holidays. Appreciate you having me on, Steve. I hope to see you down there.
Ah, I'll see you down there, but we'll have you on before.
Okay. Oh, no question. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yep, Steve.